Hello, welcome to the West Side Podcast. This is where we'll post some of our audio from our sermons on Sunday, and we're so glad that you're here. West Side's vision is to reconcile people to God through the grace of Jesus, step by step. We hope you enjoy, and thanks for tuning in.
Excited to see you here this morning. We're continuing in our series called Awake to the World. Awake to the World. And today we're talking about the topic of empathy. Which is the direction that this whole series has been moving. And I'll get to that in just a moment. But our anchor text this morning comes from Romans. It's Romans 12, verse 15. After talking about what it looks like to work out your own spiritual gifts in community, Paul then shifts to just the set of commands, a series of commands. Like, here's how to conduct yourself in community. Here's how to live with one another. And there's this whole series. We won't read through all of them. We'll come back to this in the fall. But verses 14 through 16, I want to read together. And it's the middle verse that we're going to be looking at. Verse 14 says this: "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud. Associate with people of a low position. Don't be conceited." A handful of commands there related to what does it look like to live at one with another. And right there in the middle, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. I want to suggests this morning that this is the call to empathy. Empathy is not a word that we find in Scripture. And so just bringing up the topic sends some people right out the door. It closes off the conversation to some. I've been in circles before. Where it's like, well, if it's not in Scripture, then we're not going to talk about it. And it's like, it's always in that tone of voice too, right? It's like, if it's not in Scripture, we're not going to talk about it. Well, obviously what Scripture is doing is making you a happy person. So that's cool. glad it's working for you. Would like to know you better. Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who more. I think it's a call to empathy, and I'm going to make a case for why. But first, why talk about empathy? If empathy in general, just a catch-all definition, is just about being attentive to the emotion of another. Let's maybe start there. If that's what it is, why empathy? How does it fit in this whole series of being awake to the world? Well, I want to suggest this. If we are awake to the world, remember this, the very first week of the series, we talked about desire, coming out of ourselves to the good and beautiful world that God has put around us. And that means not giving into the series of practices that we're used to that numb us to our desires, that keep us from having to deal, keep us from having to deal with the difficult stuff. Because when we turn off the faucet, when we turn off our ability to deal with the difficult stuff in our lives, we're at the same time having a parallel effect on the positive side of our lives. If we don't want to deal with the negative, then we don't get to experience the positive in the same way. It is a truncating of our emotional bandwidth, a truncating of our emotional experience in the world. And God wants you to be alive to it. He wants you to experience it. He wants you to experience the highest highs, and he wants you to know that he's there with you in the lowest lows. Every part of it is supposed to be part of our life of faith. So that's this idea of becoming awake to the world and alert to the stuff that is going on around us, the violet green swallows that are flying around outside right now that I can hear chirping every once in a while, just being awake and alert and attentive. So if we're awake to the world and we are awake to our water bottles that are falling over and we are awake then to God. We need to grow always in a sensitivity to the work of God in us, the Holy Spirit pestering, working. He brought up this topic at this discussion the other day, and then when I was reading the day after, and then somebody else was talking about it, and it's like, well, that's Holy Spirit just like trying to say, hey, excuse me, can we talk about this? Can we be alert to it? Can we be awake to it? Can we hear the promptings of God's voice? And can we put ourselves in the way of places where we know God is already speaking, like being here, being in the way of Scripture, listening to stuff, putting ourselves in the way of the places we know God is talking, being awake to the work that God is wanting to do in us. If we are awake to the world and we are awake to God, my contention would be that we will then be awake to our neighbor. This is the trajectory of all of it. This is the trajectory of all of Scripture. Remember in Galatians 5, Paul says, all of the law is summed up in this one command, love. And we expect it to be love God, and it's not. It's love neighbor as self. That it's all moving that direction. It's not that we push love of God off to the side and focus just on loving neighbor. It's that we show that we love God by loving our neighbor. And empathy is a way to get at that. Empathy is a tool that enables compassion. It allows us to be the people of love that we are called to be. So let's take a minute and talk about what empathy is and then what this passage is saying. So first of all, Brené Brown, researcher, writer, who's thought a lot and talked a lot and written a lot about our whole emotional world, but particularly about empathy. My view of these things started to shift with a funny little video of hers, probably 12, 13 years ago now. And she gives this definition of empathy. She says, it's an emotional skill that allows us to understand what someone is experiencing and to reflect back that understanding. That sounds pretty simple, right? That sounds pretty like basic, but think about it for a moment. The emotional skill, this is not something that you just pick up and are able to do. Some people may be more naturally inclined this way, personality-wise, but whether you're inclined this way or you have like the emotional awareness of a piece of cardboard, like you can, like, it, or you're somewhere on the spectrum, like you can grow in this area. It can become a skill that you develop over time. An emotional skill set that allows us to understand what someone is experiencing. And this requires a level of listening and attention. We did a whole week on attention, and here it is in the flesh. It requires a whole level of attention and just like not thinking about what we're thinking about for a minute to get into this other person's shoes. So to understand what someone is experiencing, and then to reflect back that understanding. I'm hearing you saying this. That must have been so difficult. I'm so sorry. And it doesn't have to be fancier than that. We like to fix. We like to say, I'm so sorry, what can I do? That's not empathy. Empathy is, I'm so sorry. I'm here. Doesn't have to be fancier than that. Empathy is just connecting with the experience of another, not having to impose our own experience on them, not taking on their experience as our own. There's some important steps here. There's five actually points that Brené Brown pulls together. Empathy is perspective taking. So that's just like stepping into the shoes of another, trying to understand well their perspective, not imposing the way that you view the world. Refraining from judgment. I understand your perspective and I think it's weird. That is not part of empathy. No. Refraining from judgment. This allows us to step into somebody's story fully and get to understand the texture of why they understand things the way they do. Recognizing emotion, acknowledging emotion, watching, you could maybe put here rejoicing with those who rejoice or weeping with those who weep, going to the high or to the low. She mainly writes about this topic in the area of pain, emotional pain, but we can also go to that positive side. Recognizing emotion, communicating our understanding about the emotion. So just like saying back, articulating out loud to someone what you're hearing them say. And if you've been in a moment like this and had someone do this for you, someone empathetic, sit with you in a difficult moment and just articulate back to you what you're trying to say through mumbled words, like what a gift that can be sometimes to just add some level of clarity to whatever junk is going on inside here. Can we do that for another? Communicating our understanding. And finally, mindfulness. This is, in this context, specifically talking about feeling that emotion and being able to just like sit there in it with them. To not run away because it's hard or difficult or scary, but to just sit there and be there. Empathy is not about fixing stuff. It's not about solving problems. It is about being a human with another human. What more Christian call is there than to be a full human in the presence of another human, wherever they are in life? I want us to think about this for a little bit. How does this relate to Romans 12, 15? Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. I want us to think about the traits that are necessary for empathy here in this instance. Rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. First of all, this takes awareness. This is why we talk about attention, being awake to a neighbor. To know whether it's a rejoicing day or a mourning day. Now, the thing is, most days are somewhere between those, and that's great. Most of life happens in between the spectrum of pure rejoicing and pure mourning. But awareness over time allows us to see where those ebbs and flows come, where those ups and downs go. So you got to be able to see the spark in somebody's eye, or the downcast face in your friend, your colleague. You gotta be able to see it first. If we don't ever get outside of our little cocoon, our little bubble, we will not ever succeed in growing in empathy, because it requires us getting outside of ourselves. You gotta be able to see it in somebody else's face. And I just wanna say this right here. It would be easy in this moment to hear what we're saying about empathy and to immediately go to, I have not received empathy from X. I have not received empathy and to think of the list of people who have not adequately shown us. And that is valid and that is painful for us, but I want to challenge you in this moment to get outside of the way that this has affected you and think about the way that you can be a person of empathy. It will be amazing to watch in our lives when we become those sort of people that are outgoing and aware like this. It's amazing to watch the chain reaction in our lives. So, awareness of the ups, awareness of the downs, also takes great humility. And here's what I mean. It takes humility to rejoice with those who rejoice. It takes humility to mourn with those who mourn. C.S. Lewis says, humility is not about thinking less of ourselves, it's about thinking of ourselves less. It's not about, oh, woe is me, Eeyore for Jesus sort of life. Oh, down in the dumps. Like, that is not humility at all. It's about like getting outside of ourselves. That is what the call to empathy is. And it takes some getting used to. It takes some learning of the skill to be able to rejoice with those who rejoice. Because here's the thing, you might be having a good day and I'm having a bad day. And the call to me, the command to me is to rejoice with you. It is not about my day. It is about your day. To rejoice with those who rejoice, it assumes my ability to get up outside of myself in that moment and say, I'm so happy for you. Maybe you're having a good day and I'm having a bad day. Maybe you have been given something that I've been longing for. And it just like kills me at some like gut level to see like somebody else, like, God, I've been the one praying for that. I've been the one who's wanting that. But in what the call of Christian discipleship is to say, it is not ultimately about that want in my heart. I want to get outside of that and be happy for my neighbor. I want to be able to rejoice with them regardless of whatever scenario I find myself in right now. It's so hard and so good for us. Get us outside of ourselves, and then to get us outside of ourselves on the morning side as well. It can be tempting in our grief to retreat back into a corner. And there are seasons where that is a good and helpful thing, but we can't stay there. We cannot live a life there forever. Christians are in a unique space to have their grief wide open before God and say, God has met me here. I have been broken and I have started to see the healing, and those places of brokenness ought to open up the second half of this verse to us. It ought to make us awake to so many different kinds of people. So much hurt happening around us, and part of the point of our pain is to be able to be with somebody else in theirs. Your rejoicing and your mourning matter so much. And thankfully, being here in community reminds you that it's not the only thing that matters. The rejoicing and the mourning of your brother and sister next to you matters as well. And Paul says, if you want to live this out well, go there with them. This assumes a certain like level of emotional health. To command rejoicing and to command mourning is like a pretty bold thing. Like to just like up and start rejoicing with somebody, or to immediately go, it requires an inner stasis of sorts. And some days we're there and some days we're not, but are we gradually moving towards this place of being able to like just be with another? Life and community invites us to a life outside ourselves if we let it. This is the call to empathy. I think this is a helpful setup for us, not so much for a business meeting, but for our summer in the Psalms, because we're going to see in the Psalms the whole range of human experience and human emotion. We get the highest highs, the lowest lows, and we learn that those things are actually part of our relationship with God, not opposite to it, not in opposition to it. And as we go to those highs and lows, as we go to those moments of rejoicing and moments of mourning, that is preparing us for the life that Paul is calling us to here. Be able to rejoice with somebody else. Be able to get outside of yourself to mourn with somebody else. That is the call. So I want to leave just a simple little question that might have a very complicated answer, which is, which neighbor do you need to be awake to this week? Not where do you wish you had received empathy last week, but how are you going to be about it this next week? Know that as we become more aware and alert to these things, like it opens us up to like new pains and to new joys. And that God is so interested in going there with each and every one of us. Let's be a people who take this seriously together, Westside. Let's do this. Worship team's going to come up. We're going to sing a song again. Lord, we want to take seriously your call to be people of empathy, to rejoice and to mourn. So would you help us grow? Would you help us grow up? Would you help us mature to be the kind of people who can get outside of ourselves, who don't get selfishly like hung up on the little things and the big things in our lives, and that ends up accumulating into an inability to see the people around us. Would you help us to see, and then go there with our brothers and sisters? In Jesus' name, amen.